What seemed at the time to be an ingenious way to outmaneuver France has had devastating repercussions ever since. The British knew from the outset that this move risked causing deep anger in the Muslim world, but they were confident that they could overcome it. They believed that the Arabs would recognize the economic advantages of Jewish immigration and that the Jews would long be grateful to Britain for helping them realize their dream. Both assumptions proved to be wrong. When Jewish immigration triggered Arab outrage, British attempts to keep the peace by slowing change swiftly exasperated the Jews. Under mandates granted by the League of Nations, Britain took control of Palestine, Transjordan, and Iraq, France, Lebanon, and Syria. Both powers were supposed to steer these embryonic countries to rapid independence, but they immediately began to drag their feet. The Arabs reacted angrily as the freedom they had been promised continually receded before them like a mirage. The British and the French blamed one another's policies for the opposition they each began to face. Each refused to help the other address violent Arab opposition because they knew that they would only make themselves more unpopular by doing so. For almost 2 years in the 1920s, the British ignored frequent French requests to stop the rebels who were fighting their forces inside Syria from using neighbouring British-controlled Transjordan as a base. The French in turn shrugged when the British asked them to clamp down on the Arabs who were taking sanctuary in Syria and Lebanon during their insurgency in Palestine in the second half of the 1930s. Lacking neighbourly support, both France and Britain resorted to violent tactics to crush protest that only enraged the Arabs further. The French had long believed that the British were actively aiding Arab resistance to their rule, but up until the outbreak of the Second World War, this suspicion was unfounded. The fall of France in 1940 and the subsequent decision by the French in the Levant to back the Vichy government ended both sides' reluctance to interfere in one another's problems. In June 1941, British and Free French forces invaded Syria and Lebanon to stop the Vichy administration providing Germany with a springboard for an offensive against Suez. After the Vichy French surrendered a month later, the British government entrusted the government of Lebanon and Syria to the Free French. When that move caused Arab anger, British officials decided that the best way to divert attention away from Palestine was to help both Syria and Lebanon gain their independence at French expense. With significant British assistance, the Lebanese did so in 1943. The French found out that the British were plotting with the Syrians to the same end the following year. The French discovered that the Zionists shared their appetite for revenge, for by now Jewish opinion had moved decisively against the British. In 1939, the British, in a bid to placate the Arabs, had imposed tight immigration restrictions that prevented large numbers of Jews fleeing Nazi Germany from reaching safety in Palestine. When news of the systematic nature and the scale of the Holocaust emerged, many Jews decided that it was time to throw the British out. Britain's appeasement of the Arabs' terrorism before the war had shown that violence worked. As this book reveals, the French now secretly offered support to Zionist terrorists who shared their determination to drive the British out of Palestine. What makes this venomous rivalry between Britain and France so important is that it fueled today's Arab-Israeli conflict. Britain's use of the Zionists to thwart French ambitions in the Middle East led to a dramatic escalation in tensions between the Arabs and the Jews. But it was the French who played a vital part in the creation of the State of Israel by helping the Jews organize the large-scale immigration and devastating terrorism that finally engulfed the bankrupt British Mandate in 1948. This book tries to explain how matters came to such a pass. Part 1. The Carve-Up, 1915 to 1919. Chapter 1.